It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important story.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation. And welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com, and sign up for our weekly newsletter. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent Sounding Off with Kim Munson podcasts and our most recent op-eds. We've got a great show planned for you today, and welcome. It's great to have you joining us here. In studio with me is my friend and a valued sponsor of the Kim Munson Show, Susan Kochevar, 88 Drive-In Theater. Welcome.
Good morning.
It's a Monday.
Yes, it is.
And producer Steve, it's a Monday that you've got to be excited about. It is the day before election.
I have to be excited?
Yes, you must be.
Hmm. Well, after the past two Mondays, and I'm not going to drag out the history of the recent past, but I'm a little bit nervous.
Well, I feel a lot of hope.
I just want to get through a Monday without some kind of a problem.
Oh, that's true. You have had a couple of Mondays, that's for sure. Was that a Monday when the elevators weren't working?
No, that was a Tuesday.
That was a Tuesday.
That would have made it perfect if it would have been a Monday. And, you know, just the elevator story is not complete until you tell everyone we're on the 12th floor.
Yes. And that was your exercise program that morning. But welcome. It is Monday. It is the day before election. And thank you to each of you listeners. You're each treasured. You're valued. You have a purpose. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And always like to say thank you to this great team that I get to work with. And that's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Susan Kochevar. Is 88 Drive-In Theater still open?
We are still open and going to try to run as many months as possible.
And there's indoor theaters are closed.
Well, they're open, but they're about 25%. And okay. It's just really tough.
It is. It's really tough. But people need a little respite from all of this. 88 Drive-In Theater is the place to go.
Yep. Come on out. We'll be open through the month of November. And looking forward to seeing you.
One other thing, you actually have recall POLIS petitions there as well, correct?
We do. Yep. Just come on out. We're open Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You can also go through the 88 Drive-In Facebook page and message us there, and we can make arrangements to meet with you to get your signature on that.
How much longer on this, Susan?
I think they're turned in on the 16th, so we have maybe about a week because they have to be notarized and turned in and counted and all this stuff.
Okay, so you're open Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, but if people wanted to make arrangements with you that would be convenient for their schedules, they can just Facebook you at 88 Drive-In Theater.
Yep, go right through Messenger, and we'll make time to meet up with you. We've got plenty of parking spots. Come on in. If you're coming in on the weekend, no need to buy a ticket. Just come on in, let our cashier know that you're there to sign the recall petition, and we'll let you through.
Although buying a ticket is always a good thing.
Sure. Stay for a movie. You know, we're going to have a Veterans Day program, which is coming up.
Are you? Okay. Yeah. On the 11th.
Yes.
That's next week. And I'm actually going to, in the third and fourth segment, feature a veteran. And it's going to be a great week as well. Thank you to them. It's because of them that we get to have this election tomorrow. Is Donald Trump not a machine?
I couldn't keep up with the man.
Last night, I think I went to bed and he was doing, I think, his fourth or fifth rally of the day.
He finished one up last night at midnight. And the size of those rallies is stunning. If you happen to see a picture of the one in Pennsylvania. And the one here yesterday, the drag, it was estimated at 14,000 cars. It went from Loveland to Pueblo. What's happening in Colorado?
Something's happening. People are waking up. We're going to talk with some of our candidates in this first and second segment. In the voter's guide that Rick Turnquest and I put together, we noted the 17 cruel Democrats who voted to let people die alone during this COVID-19 Wuhan virus pandemic, or scamdemic, I'm going to call it.
Yes.
And we really would recommend that you vote for their compassionate challenger. So we're going to be talking with three of those folks today, Larry Bragg and Pete Roybal and Donna Walters. So you'll want to stay tuned for that. And then in the third and fourth segment, Josh Phillip with the Epic Times. He's an expert on China. We've not talked to him since the whole Hunter Biden laptop thing came down. I can't wait to talk with him, Susan.
Oh, well, yes. So much has come out about that. We, I think, dodged a bullet.
Well, yeah, we'll see tomorrow if we did or not. Producer Steve, you and I were talking on the way in as I was driving in. We talk about freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And we know that ultimately socialism comes down to force. And one of the things that you mentioned is we're seeing a kind of a shakedown. If you don't do what we say, we're going to cause some trouble after Election Day. And the whole force thing, I think, is a problem with that, Producer Steve.
Yeah, I'm furiously trying to get to that story. But you know, you said, essentially, you've boiled it down. The threats of shutdowns, slowdowns, whatever they can do to get in people's way. And it just boggles my mind thinking that this was a scheduled legal election, legal as much as we could make it legal with all the bogus things that seem to be going on. And these people just saying, no, I don't care. The will of the people means nothing to me. It's what I want.
But yet they're the ones, Steve, that are saying, hey, if Donald Trump doesn't accept the results of this election, they never accepted the results of the last election. They want it their way. And if not, they say we're going to tear stuff up. And that ultimately goes down to force, which goes to socialism, which goes to our quote for today. Susan, I decided to choose Donald Trump.
Ah.
How's this? He said, Venezuela 20 years ago was unbelievable. And now they don't have water. They don't have food. They don't have medicine. The only difference is we'd be much bigger. But that's what it is. It's the American dream versus a socialist hellhole.
He's absolutely right. You know, people don't really know what that looks like. But I can tell you, just from this year, I was planning repairs and different things. I haven't been able to do them. And things just every year get worse and worse when you vote in those kind of policies. This
And the reason why is because of regulations or
this,
what?
The scandemic and the shutdown. People don't understand that when you're held at 50 or 25%, that's like saying to an individual, your paycheck is now going to be held down to 25 or 50%. So it works the same way for a business. When I'm held down and I know I can't, I'm just going to be able to pay the utilities and my staff and maybe make a tiny bit for myself. I can't afford to repaint, re-roof, all the other things that you need to do, which is why when you see pictures of Venezuela now, it looks like it does. It didn't always look that way, but it's actually a pretty fast degradation that happens. You right now, you're looking at your neighborhood and it looks okay. But next year, it's not going to look okay because those people haven't been working. They're not going to have the money to fix up their homes.
Right. Okay.
That's how it works.
That's a very interesting point. Hey, Susan Kochevar, let's jump over here with Larry Bragg. Larry Bragg is a candidate for House District 9 here in Colorado, and his opponent is one of the Cruel 17. Larry Bragg, welcome to the show.
Hello, Kim. How are you this morning?
Well, I am well. And one more day, Larry. What's it looking like for you?
Oh, it looks great. I'm really encouraged by what I've seen out in the neighborhoods, walking in my district. Very encouraged. I feel like we have a pretty good chance to turn things around.
This idea, and a lot of people don't realize it, that there were 17 House Democrats that voted to let people die alone. And just, I'll set this up, is Representative Tim Geithner in Colorado Springs. Once we started to realize that people were dying alone without loved ones, whether or not it was in a nursing home or a hospital, he put forth some legislation that said this is not okay. It passed unanimously through the Senate, which one would think so. But it got over to the House here in Colorado, and there were 17 Democrats. Your opponent was one of the leaders among this that voted to let people die alone. That is not okay. If they don't care about people in the very end of their life, how can they make the case that they care about everyday hardworking people, Larry Bragg?
Well, I make the case they don't know about everyday hardworking people. They have no idea what those kind of people go through. I'm a retired Denver firefighter, 34 years on the streets of Denver, half on Capitol Hill and half in the neighborhood where we live now. And several times, I'm not tooting my own horn by any means. The times that I've went above and beyond with my crew and myself, placing myself and my crew in danger to save a life, says a lot. And the fact that they have no qualms about killing a bill that is good for everyone, because it may make the other party look good, or they have an agenda that they need to follow, that shows everyone their mindset and why we need to get everyone out to vote, drive them to the polls if you have to, and make an effort to get them out of office, because it's only going to get worse.
This is true. Somebody told me that if, in fact, the Dems take Colorado again, they take the House and the Senate here in Colorado, that we ain't seen nothing yet from what happened this last election or this last legislative session. And it wasn't pretty, Larry Bragg. I am recommending that people adopt a candidate we have today and tomorrow. I know that all of you out there have been paying attention, but there are a lot of people, Susan, that have just been trying to take care of the family, try to figure out how to educate the kids at home, how to keep the food on the table, and they're pulling out their ballot and they're looking at it. And first thing we would recommend to go and to download the voter's guide at kimmunson.com. Rick Turnquest and I went through all 11 of the issues there and made a case for a way to vote, but you certainly make your own choice. But we give you all the information, but we name the 17, cruel 17, Larry Bragg, in that as well. And my friends, today and tomorrow, encourage 10 people that you know to vote Republican, to make sure that they vote and adopt a candidate. Larry, I know you could use some help today. How can people get more information about you?
Yes, my website is Bragg for Safety, F-O-R, BraggForSafety.com. They can get me a hold of me this way. They can donate. They can help volunteer anything they can. And, you know, I urge people, too, to find their candidate, to actually search them out. And if you can't donate, then volunteer. If you can't volunteer, then we have to do something.
Yeah. What I started last night is I'm going through my contacts on my phone, and I am texting each one of them individually. I'm into the C's now, so we'll see how much I get done today. But I am recommending that they make sure that they reach out and to at least 10 people and have them vote. And I'm also including our voter's guide, because I think it can be very daunting, Susan, when people sit down and look at that and they're like, what do I do? This is a good tool, and I would recommend they do that. So help your candidate. Do what I'm doing. Text your contacts. Encourage them to vote. Make sure they vote. We think everybody does, but they don't always. And Larry Bragg, thank you so much. How can people find you?
BraggForSafety.com. And thank you, Kim, for you've been the first media that reached out to me to get me to give my campaign a lift, and I truly appreciate it. So thank you, Kim.
Well, and let me just clarify, Larry, that any candidate that reached out to me, I would put them on. You and I actually met at, I think, the salon series that we did with Helen Raleigh and Paul Prentice on the tools to knock back on democratic socialism. And you gave me your card. And then at that point, that's how we got connected. And so any candidate that reached out to me, I did put them on the air. Thank you so much, Larry.
Thank you, Kim.
You have a great day. Susan, we're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, you are such a valued partner of the show. I so appreciate you.
Thank you very much.
And another one of my great partners is Hooters Restaurants, and they have 5 locations. I think they'd be a great place to celebrate a victory this week.
They sure would. Get some wings and watch the results.
I don't know if they may have sports on. I've never seen them actually have any of the political stuff on, but maybe they will. But they have 5 locations: Loveland, Aurora, Lone Tree, Westminster, and Colorado Springs. They have game day specials for football. They have to-go specials. A great party pack if you're going to have friends over. That'd be perfect if you're going to have a watch party at your house tomorrow night.
I am indeed.
And they have lunch specials, all kinds of great things. For more information, go to HootersColorado.com. That's HootersColorado.com. This is Kim Munson, Susan Kochevar, the entrepreneur and owner of 88 Drive-In Theaters and Studio. We're going to be right back with Pete Roybal, who is challenging another one of those cruel 17 that voted to let people die alone. We'll be right back.
Metropolitan Total Property is more than landscaping. Locally owned and operated since 1987, their team is proud to be your neighbor and live in the community. Metropolitan Total Property stands behind their work, and your complete satisfaction is their top priority. Kim Munson highly recommends Metropolitan Total Property for landscaping and more. She was one of their very first clients way back in 1987. Be sure to check out MetropolitanTotalProperty.com for their complete menu of services. Again, that's MetropolitanTotalProperty.com.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lauren Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. We're hoping to have some 007 music, bumper music for you. Of course, late breaking, Sean Connery passed on this weekend. You being in the movie business, it's a big loss, Susan Kochevar.
Oh, it really is. He is my favorite. Sir, he was knighted.
He was knighted.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Sean Connery. And so rest in peace for sure. Welcome to the show. This is Kim Munson. I have Susan Kochevar here in studio with me. She is the entrepreneur and owner of 88 Drive-In Theater and a great partner of the show. And I just shared some good news with you. I was talking to Zach yesterday, and we're working it. He said we've had over 110,000 views on our website so far this year.
That's huge.
Steve, what do you think of that? Your hard work, this great team that we have together, it is amazing.
I'm sorry, I'm trying to deal with your music problem. What was the good news again?
The good news is because of the great bumper music that we have, Steve, all the time.
Are you serious?
We've had 110,000 views on the website this year so far, which is great for a growing little business like ours.
Wow.
Isn't that awesome?
Who'd have thunk?
Who would have thunk it? That's for sure. Hey, let's talk to Pete Roybal. He is another one of the challengers to the Cruel 17 out there. Pete Roybal, welcome to the show.
Hi, Kim. This is Pete.
And you are running for House District 28 here in Colorado, correct?
That is correct.
And what area is that, Pete?
That's basically south of 6th Avenue between Sheridan and Garrison, going south past Bellevue, and then it goes west into the Hogback.
Okay. And what are you hearing when you're out on the campaign trail? What is the people in your district concerned about?
They're very angry. They're very upset. Number one issue is law and order. They've had enough.
Where does your opponent stand on law and order, Pete Roybal?
We don't know. She's MIA.
I hear the Democrats have been hiding in their basements. I'm hearing that from candidates all over the state.
Well, you've seen that from the leadership of the Democrat Party. Pete Roybal, your opponent is also one of those who voted to let people die alone during this COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption. And people that don't care about those in their last part of their life can't say that they care about us during the other parts of our life as well, Pete Roybal.
I grew up in East Denver. I grew up with a loving family, two parents, showing a lot of love and a lot of discipline. And, in the Hispanic community, we tend to be family-oriented. And when you take that away from us and when something happens at toward the end of your lifespan, like your parents passing, and somebody takes that away from you when they were passing, you feel very violated. and very negative, very angry.
That is for sure. And there's many, many stories that this happened and is happening during this this lockdown, this draconian lockdown that's going on. Pete Roybal, how can people help you? We've got two more days. How can people reach out to you and help you?
Oh, thank you so much for asking. You know, we have covered 35,000 doors. We have gone door to door, and we've delivered our message directly to the people. And it didn't matter, or it doesn't matter, if they're unaffiliated, Democrat or Republican. These are our constituents here in Lakewood. And thank you for asking. Yes, please get out and vote.
And Pete, and if people want more information about you, how can they reach you?
Sure. I have a website. It's called electroybal2020.com. And my phone is 720-432-7554.
Okay, that's 720-432-7554. If you're out there in Pete's district, reach out to him today. We can't sit on our couches. We need to be out helping. Pete Roybal, thank you so much.
Please. Thank you.
Okay. And another challenger to some of one of these Cruel 17 is Donna Walter. Donna, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim. How are you?
I am good. Two more days here, Donna. Tell us, let's see, which district is yours?
House District 52. That's in the east part of Fort Collins.
Okay. And what are you hearing out there on the campaign trail? What are people concerned about?
They are concerned about not having jobs, concerned about not being safe. And then there is a segment concerned about a virus that, unfortunately, I being in the medical field, there have just been too much improper reporting on that.
Yes, we have talked about the way that the numbers continue to be fluid, and actually that should not be the case. Donna, your opponent is one of those that voted to let people die alone. Rick Turnquest and I noted the 17 Democrats that voted to do that in our voter's guide, which you can find at Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. But I know that you're in the medical field, and it's unconscionable, because you're a doctor. It's unconscionable that people would die without loved ones around them.
I listened to the fellow prior, and that's correct. And it doesn't matter who you are. Your parents are, I mean, that's another passage of life that you're being denied for all involved.
By rules and regulations, we need to push back on that. Donna Walter, for the next, we've got, not even 48 hours now. How can people help you?
Well, we've managed to get just about everybody touched that we need to, except there's a list of about 2,000 people. I don't have anything but addresses for left for Get Out the Vote. I really could use a hand touching and getting a message to their door to vote, because they haven't voted yet. So that may change this morning when we get our new list, but I need some help with that last minute Get Out the Vote.
And what that could mean is just driving by, putting a sticky note on their door saying, be sure and vote. Donna Walter, how can people get more information about you?
970-690-1990 or donnawalter.com.
Okay, 970-690-1990, correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
Or donnawalter.com.
Okay. You could get your exercise. It's a beautiful day, and you can help Donna Walter win her seat. Donna, thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Kim. You have a great day.
Bye. Hey, Susan, before we get over here to Jason McBride, Stephen Moore had a piece in the Washington Examiner, this was on October 20th, about Biden's seven economic deadly sins. And let's just run through them quickly. He said that Biden would raise taxes by some $4 trillion, which is an average of $35,000 per household over the next decade. That is astounding, Susan.
It'll break the American spirit. It'll break the American back. We can't afford any more taxes.
I think Steve's actually, he's working on the phone right now, so I won't do that. The next thing is the end of right to work laws in America. He would then push push everything to unions. People have to pay union dues. We talk about socialism is freedom versus force. When they forcibly take money out of your paycheck without your permission for union dues, that's the ultimate enforce, Susan.
It is. And also, when you're an entrepreneur, it interferes with the way you want to run your business. And it's very difficult then to, you know, get new and innovative ideas like that. It slows everything down. It's very bad.
Okay, number three. And Jason McBride is on the line, too. He might want to jump in on this as well. Biden would end U.S. energy independence. Jason, I'm going to toss this over to you. Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management, is on the line. Happy Monday.
Hey, happy Monday. Good morning, Susan.
Morning.
Okay, we're going through Stephen Moore, who is an economist, Washington Examiner, had the seven economic deadly sins of Joe Biden. The first is the most significant increase in taxes in the history of America. You, Jason, have actually done the analysis of the Trump tax cuts. It's at airpresidential.com, airpresidential.com. It's right there in black and white that people saved probably, I'm going to say more like $6,000 per household. And then I saw another report this weekend that everyday people, because of the drop in rules and regulations, their paychecks went up by almost $6,000. So $12,000 for everyday people, Jason, that is a lot. I could not imagine people voting against that and voting for Joe Biden. I mean, they're going to lose so much money if they do that, Jason.
Well, either A, they don't have the truth, or B, they don't care, and they're so radicalized and, full of hatred for Trump that, they'll watch their own economy go down the tubes just in order to get Trump out of office. That's the only two explanations I can come up with, Kim.
Well, and they are being played by the deep state, by media, by the big tech. They're being played. And I think enough people are awake. I think Donald Trump's going to win tomorrow.
You know what? It's certainly looking that way. You know, one thing that has been done is money has been demonized. Oh, it's about money, money, money. No, actually, money is just the means of exchange. We need to take that away. And so when somebody has $12,000 extra in their pocket, that's a lot. And they can feed their families, get better health care, make their own choices. It provides independence.
Fix up their houses.
Right.
All those things that make the economy go. Okay, Jason, we're running through this. We said number two, Stephen Moore said that basically Biden would force a million of workers to join a union. And then he plans to end U.S. energy independence. Think about all the blood and treasure that has been has been spent because we're not energy independent. And now we are. And Biden would stop that, Jason.
Well, I think it's absolutely ridiculous, and it accomplishes several things of the Democratic plan. One is, again, to make us dependent on other countries and thus weaker, which would probably be the number one thing. Two is to get rid of a lot of jobs and get more people under the thumb of the Democratic Party through welfare and other means like that. So there's always... You can't figure out why they want to do these things until you always just remember what the Democrats' main plan is, and that is to have as much control as possible.
Over your life, and then as we have looked at those cruel 17 that voted to let people die alone, once they get that power, they don't really care about people. I'm just going to run through the other four here. Higher death taxes. Says the death tax is one of the most unfair taxes because the public already, we've already paid income taxes, payroll taxes, sales taxes, gas taxes, property taxes. And the Biden tax scheme of taxing 40% of a family farm, a ranch, or a family-owned business could require these legacy businesses to break up to pay those taxes. And Stephen Moore says that's un-American, Jason McBride.
Well, I've always thought the death tax was ridiculous. I mean, it's not a transaction when you die. Nothing happened except you die. That doesn't mean the government. That's looting. That's exactly mm-hmm. what that is. All that happened was you died, and now the government wants to come in and loot your belongings because you're not there to protect them. I think it's foolish. Most of the people don't pay it anyway because they do trust or take other type of action to ward it off. So, the lawyers make money, but in most cases, unless people are really, really unintelligent, they're not going to pay, you know, the inheritance tax anyway.
Okay. Number five, speaking of making us dependent, Trump pulled us out of the Paris Climate Treaty, and Biden would put us back in there. And we make the note that China and India are adding multiple times as much pollution into the atmosphere as America is. And in fact, America has actually been reducing carbon emissions. Number six, there'd be a $400 billion blue state bailout. So all of those states that have been making bad decisions and shutting down their states and their cities, they want the people that have managed things well, Susan, to bail them out. And that is a terrible idea.
Yeah, that's like having to bail out your neighbors for their bad spending habits. It's no different.
That's exactly right. And then lastly, a $15 an hour minimum wage, which basically we could call that the Youth Unemployment Act.
Exactly. Probably the Everybody Unemployment Act. That would break small businesses. I was on Fox and Friends this past weekend talking about the impact. You know, here in Colorado, we keep
raising... You were on Fox and Friends?
I was, yes.
Cool.
We keep raising our minimum wage here, and as a result, I've found ways to be even more efficient, offer a few less things, and I now have five fewer employees. And the employees that return every year, I have to give them smaller raises because every new employee has to come in at that new minimum wage. It does a lot of damage.
Oh, boy. Jason McBride, I know that I kind of jumped in here. I wanted to go through these Biden's seven economic deadly sins. What's your final thought here this morning?
Well, you know, Kim, it's I spent the weekend. I don't know if you guys heard about the thousands of cars with Trump flags. So I was part of that. The MAGA drag the interstate. That was just a great event. When you see like a massive, so many people come in, you just sit and imagine. It's like, how could Trump lose? I mean, to see that type of support, I don't see people coming out for Biden rallies like that. Mm-hmm. And I would say when we were driving through straight through downtown, the number of thumbs up that we got compared to middle fingers up was still about 10-1. So it was very exciting. I've never seen anything like that as far as support for a president. That's what I spent my weekend doing. It made me feel very, very good. I hope that we win tomorrow. You know, but I have to mention one more thing. If you saw the small amount of news coverage on the event, they somehow tried to combine it together with the riots and the killing that has happened downtown. And I don't even know how they tried to conflagrate the two together. So shame on the media once again.
Well, I do hear that Biden gave a number of rallies to, I think, a couple hundred Priuses this last weekend.
Well,
you know,
hear...
it's funny. Most of the middle fingers actually don't come from Priuses. They come from Subarus.
Interesting.
Subarus are the worst offenders for the middle fingers, and the people that go the craziest and lose their minds, it's weird. It's young women, Kim.
I know.
It's the young women. I mean, we had one on Force. She was hanging out the window of her. I thought she was going to fall out of her window. She was screaming and yelling at us. I mean, both fingers straight up in the air, spit flying out of her mouth. And I'm thinking, my God, her poor husband, if she ever has one.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Well, I hear those numbers yesterday were estimated at 14,000 cars. And our security officer said the line extended from Loveland to Pueblo.
That is astounding.
Massive.
Jason McBride, people want more information. I'd recommend that they download this Trump tax cut analysis you did. That's at airpresidential.com, AIRpresidential.com. We will talk to you tomorrow, Jason McBride.
Thanks for having me.
You betcha. And we're going to go to break. When we come back, Josh Philip, you know him. He is with the Epoch Times, and he is an expert on China. We've not talked to him since the Hunter Biden laptop thing happened. We'll be right back.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And now we take great pleasure in presenting to you the star of our program, Miss Kate Smith.
It is my happy privilege to introduce a new song.
Okay. We'll play that again tomorrow on God Bless America. We got ourselves jammed up on time, and we've got on the line with us Josh Philip. He is with the Epoch Times. He's an expert on China. We have him on regularly. Josh, welcome to the show. Are you there, Josh?
Yeah, do you hear me now?
Yeah, we got you now. Hey, Josh Philip, you are an expert on China. And a lot has happened since last month when we talked with the whole Hunter Biden laptop thing. What do you think's going on, Josh Philip?
Understanding it is sorting through the many different forms of leaks taking place simultaneously, because we have a few now of Hunter Biden's former business associates. One of them began providing emails to Seamus Brumer and to the guy who wrote Clinton Cash with Seamus Brumer.
Schweitzer, is that right?
You have Peter Schweitzer, that's mm-hmm. right. And so basically one of his former partners came out, he's in prison right now, and decided to provide these emails, provided access to his personal emails. So those are not leaks. Those are his actual emails given access to these investigators. After they started releasing those, then other business associates started coming forward. If you were to ask me, I think that's partly because maybe they want to get legal immunity so they can testify, so they're not also charged, you know, in this whole case. It makes sense from that mm-hmm. perspective. You also have the Giuliani emails that he allegedly got from this laptop that was left at a repair shop. Those are leaks, technically, but provided through legal means because, you know, Hunter Biden left his laptop at his shop, and, you know, the ownership switched over to them because of that. Then you have Guo Wengui, this Chinese billionaire, releasing these images and videos of Hunter Biden. Those were allegedly from, you know, he was in China. He was a billionaire in China. He defected. And when he came over, he was tied into one, you know, he has a lot of relations with high-level Chinese officials, most of whom were with the Jiang faction. When he left, he brought these hard drives with him, and these are allegedly from those hard drives. And then you have the rumors that the Trump administration was given three different hard drives, which we have not seen the contents of, from individuals in China tied to the Jiang faction. And that's a bit of a red flag for me. I'm not sure, but we haven't seen verification that's true. There are reports on that. And so, in other words, I think the situation a lot of us are in is we hear, oh, Biden says it's Russian disinformation. He's only referring to the Giuliani laptop. And you know, unless the repair guy is a Russian disinformation agent, that I don't know. I don't know how you can verify that. And you could definitely not say that about his business partners, because if you're saying his business partners are Russian agents, then, well, you're suggesting that he was doing business with Russian agents. You know, in other words, I think there's a lot of information and people are having trouble sorting through it because there's so much noise around it, unfortunately. But from another perspective, you know, you're looking at a case, you're seeing many claims which are being cross-corroborated by many different sources. And I think that picture is something very interesting to watch.
Well, it almost looks like a mob crime family to me. In fact, this looks to me like this is bigger than Watergate, Josh Philip. But what's going to happen with it, do you think?
It could be bigger than Watergate. It looks like there was a lot of pay-to-play going on. You know what it looks like, actually? It looks like the same thing that was happening with the whole Clinton Cash scandal. Again, Peter Schweizer wrote about this. And, you know, and Seamus Brumer. You might remember the whole Clinton Cash scandal where they talked about Uranium One and these different deals. Basically, what was happening, this was under the same administration, under the Obama administration, just like Joe Biden, You had basically a family member of a public official going around making a lot of money giving speaking engagements, and a politician sitting in office passing legislation or doing things that very closely aligned with those speaking engagements, making a lot of money through things that, you know, had some overlap in personal interest, personal financial interest involved. It seems to be the same basic model that Joe Biden and Hunter Biden were following, where Joe Biden was going to negotiate, for example, in China. He comes back, Hunter Biden gets a massive, you know, over $1 billion business deal in China. He goes and lectures and, you know, goes and does things in Ukraine and with these, you know, Russian individuals and so on. And sure enough, Hunter Biden's making all these big business deals like Burisma, so on. It seems like pay to play. And it also seems there were some instances of quid pro quo, where Biden, for example, forced these investigators to end their investigation into Hunter, or he was threatening them, essentially. He talked about this on video, in fact. It's not, you know, not a rumor. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it looks
go ahead, sorry.
I say, it looks to me like China just about had its grip on our government through Joe Biden. You know, Joe Biden runs, and apparently there are emails out that say that the Chinese were interested in getting Kamala Harris on board and others. I'm very interested to see what else comes out about that.
There were emails on that. And, I mean, an important point of context on this is, remember that during the Obama administration, Obama had this whole Asia pivot, where, at least on the surface, he was recognizing China as a legitimate threat to the United States, and he was moving the U.S. naval forces to the Asia-Pacific region. And a lot of that was freedom of navigation operations in the South China Sea, basically things challenging the Chinese Communist Party's claimed ownership over that whole region. Guess who was assigned as the delegate, the U.S. delegate, to deal with all that? Well, that was Joe Biden, vice president at the time. One of the reasons why Obama, as people said, brought Joe Biden onto his campaign was because Obama had a lot of domestic politics. Joe Biden was known as the foreign policy guy. And so Joe Biden was handling a lot of these things. And yes, the deals do align very closely with that. These, you know, we can't say for sure they're connected, but it looks a whole lot like they were. When it comes to China and its interest with that, yes, there were emails, in fact, and ones we've seen at least. You know, of course, we haven't on a court level verified them, but according to the pretty credible sources coming out with them, it does appear to be that there were business deals that related to China, and the Chinese nationals on their side were interested in bringing both Biden and Harris into this.
Josh?
Yeah, they talked about the big man. That was the big man.
The big guy. Yeah. Okay, question. Connect this dot for me. I think I heard you just say that during the Obama administration, that it looked like there was an Asia pivot, that at least it sounds like you implied that Obama was trying to make it look like we might be trying to get a little tougher on China with our aircraft carriers in South China Sea. But yet Biden's over here on the pay-to-play thing. Connect this. I can't quite figure that out.
Well, yeah. I mean, it looked like he was going to get tougher on China, but he really didn't. So this was the history of that. Remember that China... Okay, so here's the history. Around, you know, shortly after Obama came into office, remember he came out and did this whole Russia reset, and they had this big press event where they had this big red button that the, you know, reset, and they pushed it. Mm-hmm. It was a big show. Hillary Clinton was involved. Russia was involved. After that, Russia, what happened? Russia invades Ukraine. China basically claims ownership over the whole South China Sea, declares an ADIZ, this whole no-fly zone. After that, they start going after Japan. They cut off supplies of Japan's rare earth minerals, which cuts off the Japanese high-tech market. And so China, Russia both become more aggressive. Now, internally, based on reporting we've done, we know that Russia and China had assessed. They believed the United States was on decline, and they believed it was their turn to rise, basically. And so they had no problem becoming more aggressive. They did not fear U.S. retaliation. Shortly after that, Obama announced the Asia pivot, where he moved naval forces, a lot of the U.S. Navy, to the Asia-Pacific region. And he began doing freedom of navigation operations, sailing U.S. warships through the South China Sea, basically challenging China. That was really where it ended, though. because he didn't do anything more significant. The most he did was charge these five Chinese hackers with theft of intellectual property. None of them were arrested. Nothing more was done. Obama's general policy with China was basically let them do what they want, and maybe somehow they'll change. And Biden was the one assigned with a lot of that diplomacy. You remember how that ended. Obama landed in a jet in China, and they made him walk out the butt of the airplane. It was
That's
a very
right.
symbolic move.
I forgot about that. Hey, Josh Phillip, we need to go to break. Stay through the break. We're talking with Josh Phillip. He is an expert on China. He is with the Epic Times. Susan Kochevar, entrepreneur and owner of 88 Drive-In Theater, is in studio with me. Before we go to break, another one of my great partners is Castlegate Knife and Tool. They are located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. They're a family-owned business. They have a wide array of knives, whether or not you are a collector. Knives for military personnel, of course, sportsmen. I have a great new utility knife that I needed. And then also they have great kitchen knives. And I got the nicest thank you note for one of the wedding gifts that I gave for a wedding this summer. So be sure and check out Castlegate.com. That's Castlegate.com. We'll be right back with Josh Phillip and Susan Kochevar.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, kimmunson.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
God bless America.
And welcome back to The Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Yes, God bless America. We are coming into an amazing election tomorrow. In studio with me is Susan Kochevar, the owner of 88 Drive-In Theater, a great partner of The Kim Munson Show. On the line is Josh Phillip with the Epic Times and expert on China. Susan Kochevar, you had a question for Josh.
Yeah, Josh, I saw where China, they found a shipment of thousands of driver's licenses, and I hear that that has something to do with all the voter fraud going on in Texas and some other places where they have drive-through voting. Have you heard about that?
I have heard about the driver's licenses coming in. It's not quite clear whether that was tied to voter fraud. It could be. A lot of places you don't even need to go that far if you want to commit voter fraud, though, to be honest. I mean, in New York, for example, a lot of people who are here illegally, illegal immigrants, you know, they just go to New Jersey. There's places they have for it where they can basically steal a person's Social Security card or Social Security number, which they can use to, you know, of course, file taxes and get jobs through the normal system. It's normal practice. China, though, is one of the major sources of, and of course, you know, it's easy to steal someone's identity. They have other systems for if they want to do it. Now, that said, though, China is one of the major sources for fake IDs, and that was one of the big issues that brought to light, that, yeah, that is happening. There are many ways. There are many different things they could use it for. Could they use it for voter fraud? Possibly as well.
Okay, yeah, there's lots of different things they could use that for. Josh, we've got just a few minutes. Tomorrow is Election Day. You've got your ear to the ground on all kinds of things that are going on. What do you think our listeners should know today, this day before November 3rd?
Well, you know, it is Election Day, and I think there's two very different candidates going in right now. On my own show, Crossroads, I did a whole episode looking at the policies of President Donald Trump and Joe Biden. Really, the difference between Trump and Biden is Trump does have this stance of representing the, you know, average Americans, fighting to change the business deals we have with different countries to make them more beneficial for Americans and things like that. Biden really does represent an expansion of government. Many of his policies, including health care, including infrastructure, a lot of it's modeled after the Green New Deal. A lot of his policies are, in fact, very, very socialist, not even kind of socialist. What his system would look like would be a very socialist system being introduced into the United States. And so I'd say just go to the polls understanding that. Which system would you prefer between the two of them?
Okay, Josh, this has been a journey for me to get to this point. I just recently reread the Communist Manifesto, and socialism and communism are very closely connected because socialism basically controls all production, but through rules and regulations, where communism, the government owns it. The effects are pretty close to the same. But socialism isn't really about free stuff, Josh. Socialism, people still have to work. I mean, you think about Mao, you think about Hitler, they had the camps. You think about Stalin, people had to work. The problem was is people don't get to keep the fruits of their labor. There's no private property. And so people that think they're going to get all this free stuff, ultimately everybody's going to be equal but in misery. What's your comments on that, Josh?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. You know, really, communism and socialism were used interchangeably until the Bolshevik Revolution in around 1917 under Lenin. Most of the old books talk about them interchangeably. Socialism is just the system that it takes. Communism exists as a negation of systems. Communism is more like the city on the hill, the idea they had that they were working towards. Socialism is the dictatorship of the proletariat. It's a dictatorship. The entire idea is that they seize the means of production. The businesses don't go away. The factories don't go away. The big corporations don't go away. The only difference is they're state-owned. The government owns them. You do not own them. You cannot compete in the system. You have no right to compete in the system. Your own free will is taken from you, and you're right. You have to work. You have to serve the system. And if you're deemed unuseful for the system, well, a lot of different countries that have practiced it to a larger extent decided that people like that are just not worthwhile, and they have genocides and democides and things like this. Absolutely. You know, I would say that the benefits go away after a short period of time. They're just the carrot on a stick that these systems use to lure people into basically surrendering their freedoms and their rights and their beliefs and their morals and their traditions, because communism and socialism seeks to annihilate all these things.
And Josh Philip, when you said that it's a dictatorship, I think people think of a person, but I think a dictatorship could be a party as well.
Well, and that's exactly what it is. We talk about classes and these types of things. Communism always creates one small group that is a domineering party that basically tramples over the rest of all of society. And a lot of politicians pushing for it, they're not pushing for it because they want to be the people on the bottom. They're pushing for it because they want to be the people on the top. Communism does not build up society by uplifting the poor. It builds society by tearing down the successful. It is a tearing down, not a building up of society.
That seems, Josh Philip, what is on the ballot tomorrow. We've got just about a couple of minutes. Josh, what's the final thoughts that you'd like to leave with our listeners today?
Well, you know, I think back to this idea of communism and socialism. I think, unfortunately, in the U.S., a lot of us only understand socialism as an economic theory. If we get into it, though, it was not about economics. Even in the time of Marx, it was not regarded as economics. The only reason we negotiated or debated on that is because Marx wasn't really good at economics. You know, economics and sociology were the weak points of socialism in terms of the argument. If we go back into it, it was about metaphysics and ontology. It was a theory about the nature of life. And what is the basic nature of that? Dialectical materialism, the struggle of opposites. That is the living soul of Marxism, as many different communist leaders have mentioned. Dialectical materialism, the struggle of opposites, the idea of social evolution, and that if you believe in survival of the fittest, how do you create that? How do you drive society forward? What is the progressive nature of society? Well, it's driving people into conflict with each other. It's causing strife. It's turning races against each other, turning men and women against each other, turning children against their parents. People against their landlords, people against each other, people against God. the very element that drives these things forward in the basic teachings of all these systems is the idea of class struggle, struggle of opposites. And so I would say, you know, I'd say understand what you're facing, but also don't get pulled into it. Don't become part of the problem. You know, they accuse everyone else of hatred. Really, they're the biggest sources of hatred. I'd say don't become part of it.
Josh Phillip, well said. And we are, you're on once a month now with us. I love that. Great thoughts. Josh Phillip, and how can people get more information about you?
You can find my show, Crossroads, on the Epoch Times website. That's theepochtimes.com, E-P-O-C-H-T-I-M-E-S.
Okay, Josh Phillip, thank you so much, and we will talk to you in a month.
Great, pleasure. Thank you, Kim.
Okay. Susan Kochevar, 88 Drive-In Theater, it's great having you here.
Thank you. I want to tell everybody, all those candidates that we talked to earlier, remember, last election, we voted down all the things we didn't want, but we voted in the candidates that gave us all the things we said we didn't want. So vote that Republican ticket so that we can get back to the things we want.
Up and down, and then we stay in contact with these candidates once they are elected, because we're never going to agree 100% on everything, but you have to vote Republican up and down the ticket. So, my friends, today our quote is from Donald Trump. And he says, the most basic duty of government is to defend the lives of its own citizens. Any government that fails to do so is a government unworthy to lead.
Yep.
Okay. So today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you and God bless America.
Twisting, turning further from my home. Young, like a new moon rising, fierce through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry.